exit to world order.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Zach Linder. This is Andrew Goldstein. And you can follow us both on Twitter at AngeGold.
A-N-G-E-G-O-L-D.
And we are the founding members of the JWO.
Woo!
And you can call this right here the Jew World Order of Podcasting Brothers.
And now, for the older people in the audience, what I'd like to have right now is for all you fat, out of shape, tri-state area, bridge and tunnel, smart mark, sweat hogs, to keep the noise down while Zachy and I introduce to you the number one wrestling podcast in all the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host for the evening, he's known as the Podfather. He's known as the Mage One. He's known as the King of the Majesty. He's known as Brian Dipperstein's number one client. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy yourselves for Mr. Peter Rosenberg.
Now hit the music.
That's who I made my wife.
Yeah, New York City. What up, what up? What up, sound guy? How are you guys? What's good? Thank you guys for coming out. Oh, the original first edition GP t-shirt, a rare commodity now. By the way, I should remind everyone, I don't know if you know this by now, there is a new GP t-shirt. I don't know if you're aware. It's available. Shout out to Top Shelf Premium. He's here somewhere. Do you guys know, where is it? Where is the actual? It's outside to the right. Okay, so make sure you visit Top Shelf Premium and get a t-shirt. Guys, we have a really special night. I've never been here. This moment right now is the first moment I've ever seen this room. It is a beautiful room, Sony Hall. Thank you very much. It's fantastic. We should definitely be back here again. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce the People's Champion. The man you guys always love. When I'm on my BS and I've gotten annoying and I'm too full of myself and I think I'm a big shot being on the WWE Network, there's a man to always bring me back down to earth. There's a man. Where is Sam Roberts? Where is Sam Roberts? Shout out to Sammy for coming through, by the way, not even asking for a free comp. That's a good man right there, Sam Roberts. All right, don't clap that much, Sam Roberts. All right, guys, this man, he's here. If you want to hear, how do I say, a different side of things. If you want to see, if you want to see a man dance to The Boy Is Mine with ravishing Rick Rude pelvic thrusts, if you want to hear every detail about Bret the Hitman Hart, or if you want the Black Power rankings, you got to go to Uptown Malcolm. Stat Guy Greg. Stat Guy, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Now, I have to be honest, seeing as I've literally not looked at this room until right this second, because I'm a professional, when I said I needed all the couches, I may have said too many couches. So, what do you think? I think here's what we do. I think I sit here.
Okay.
And then you sit here, and you have to be, come on, dude, pause is so long.
Trying to get some space.
Yo, that was such a Harlem move to be like, nah, I'm going to sit here, my G.
The light.
I got you.
The light is just right.
Okay.
Exact spot, though.
Now listen, so we had made a promise. I have some lint on my brand new Enjoy Yourself t-shirt available from Top Shelf Premium. We had talked about having a reunion tonight.
Yes. So we're going to start right there.
Well, I just want to get right into it because he's not necessarily a guy who was popular in this room to start out with. I'm talking about the dastardly maker of shoes, David Schumann. So I had tried to make things good. Here's the true story. Did you guys hear the if you heard the podcast over the last couple weeks, you heard that I went to Los Angeles and I was supposed to sit down with the real, the most evil man in the business today. I'm talking about Bill Simmons. Yeah, I was. And I made a critical mistake because I accepted the hand of the devil and thought that we could sit down and break bread. And guess what?
I don't know why.
I know. It's sort of like trusting someone in the Trump administration. There's no honor among thieves. And I tried to go sit down with this Bill Simmons, and he no-showed me. Didn't even respond. So at that point, I reached out to Shoemaker, who didn't respond.
Of course.
And I'd already started promoting he was going to be here. But the fact of the matter is, Greg, I don't think he's showing up.
So, I didn't tell you this backstage, but I actually heard from him while I was on my way over here.
You did? Because he lives here now, by the way, so it shouldn't be that.
And he's not showing up. So.
Okay. Well, guess what? Well, guess what? As we've proven over the last few years, we don't need David Shoemaker, okay? We don't
need
the masked man.
New era.
No, it's a new era, and I don't need the masked man for anything when it comes to this show. So we will move on, and we'll do it. We still have all those people. What, they didn't have any Brooklyn-made IPAs downstairs?
I've been in L.A. for 2 years, man. It's all Corona for me now.
So you are back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Guys, I guess make some noise for David Shoemaker, the masked man. So, how you been?
I've been good. I've been good. I don't, I was running late today. I had some other plans, some other stuff I was involved with. I don't know. I sent Dipperstein a photo. I don't know if he can get up on the screen whenever you get a chance.
He told me about this, and I don't know what it is exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if that's even it's probably going to be.
By the way, I'll be amazed, considering, like I said, I've never seen the stage, the idea of random photos popping up at any given time.
No, I just wanted to show everybody what I've been up to today and thought, I don't.
Well, now I'm just seeing weird blackness on the screen.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that?
Strange.
Is this?
Yeah, Rosenberg, if you want to get up and take a look at what. Needless to say, I've had a good time since I've been back in New York.
Well, listen, I got news for you. If you slept with my wife today, you have to pay for your Enjoy Yourself t-shirt. Because apparently you already enjoyed yourself.
And no socks for you.
Yes. So, first of all, I am excited that you are back on the East Coast. It was so weird with you on the West Coast. It's not right.
Yeah, time zones are hard.
It's very complicated. It's too far away. You're already hard enough to get a hold of if you're here. So you being out there was just, you're just the most Brooklyn guy ever. So first of all, welcome back. And second of all, I read your piece today on The Ringer about SummerSlam.
Yeah.
By the way, who's going to SummerSlam this Sunday? Sorry. Hey, who's going to NXT on Saturday?
Wait, is that real?
Although this is where it gets worrisome. Who's going to Raw on Monday? And this is where you separate the real from the fake. Who's going to SmackDown on Tuesday? Where are you at, Sam Roberts? There you go. I actually really, really, I've been really enjoying SmackDown. But you wrote an interesting article about how SummerSlam has now sort of become this, it went from just being a big event to sort of a WrestleMania-like event that can reset the calendar to a certain degree. Are you actually expecting that?
You mean like from the fallout?
Yeah, like over the next few days, do you think there are at least a couple of important things that are very different in the WWE universe moving forward?
Sure. I think that it's really hard to talk about resetting the calendar or whatever, then the WWE making a big move, because the most important match is permanently up in the air. But yeah, I think that as SummerSlam continues to get bigger and bigger, we have, you know, people coming out on Thursday night for events and then going all the way through Tuesday, people obviously flying into New York. And next year they're talking about a football stadium. You might know more about that than I do.
I do not, but I I was reading that in your article, and I'd forgotten about that becoming a possibility, the idea of
being
a stadium.
This is the first I'm hearing of that.
It's something they've been talking about for a while, and very, like, you know, we'll just talk about this on stock calls to sort of, like, make it seem like
Well, I'll tell you what would be fire, though, if I'm thinking about it. So if the WWE is to go back to Los Angeles for SummerSlam,
sure.
Which, yeah,
slightly.
Which I also am for. I love that random trip to L.A., although I'm psyched for Survivor Series. But if they were to go back to L.A., you have the opportunity to do it, at least for the while, at the StubHub Center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The StubHub Center is where the Chargers play currently. It holds like 40... Wow, Chargers fans. Big Phillip Rivers guy. Good for you. Phillip Rivers is a great player. Don't let these Giants fans bully you because they got Eli Manning and they're happy. I think Phillip Rivers is a hell of a quarterback. But that stadium is, in my opinion, is amazing because it's like... It's awkwardly small for an outdoor stadium. I guess it probably feels similar to a lot of the MLS stadiums. But that is a reasonable stadium that you could sell out for SummerSlam.
Sure.
So that would be very interesting. Okay, so that said, you mentioned the main event on Sunday.
Yeah.
At this point, it's almost nerve-wracking going into a big Roman Reigns main event.
Sure.
Like, how does this play out? Because... I was backstage watching on the monitor at the, that was not a name drop. That was not Sam. We were there, but it wasn't a name drop. That was the same way I was watching it. And I didn't get the full feel of what was happening in the stadium.
At WrestleMania.
Yeah, WrestleMania. So I see.
That made it a name drop.
What?
Backstage at WrestleMania.
Oh, that's the double name. Okay, got it. So once I see the blood and like, I'm just sitting there watching it, so I'm like, this is awesome. I'm really dialed in. And you guys know I'm a bit of a Roman Reigns apologist, not as much as some people, but...
Truther. We're truthers.
But I thought it was pretty entertaining, and like many Brock Lesnar matches, you're not exactly sure what the hell is going on. And I was excited by it, and then, of course, when I went back and watched it later, I saw that the reception was clearly mixed by the live crowd. It's mixed... Unfair.
Mixed is generous.
So the question is, I mean, isn't a Brooklyn crowd likely to be less generous than the WrestleMania crowd?
Yeah, and in a smaller arena, the sound will carry a lot more. It could be really rough, and especially with the... with the money in the bank briefcase hanging over everything, not literally this time, but you know, they're having a match obviously earlier in the night between Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman for the money in the bank briefcase. Like, I don't think I wrote in my piece that every wrestling fan over the age of 8 has fantasy booked whoever wins that match cashing in at the end of the night. If they don't do that, then that's compounding. That's like even worse than WrestleMania, right?
Because people are waiting for that.
Yeah, because it feels like that's all of our expectations are tied up in that. And I don't even know, I mean, at WrestleMania at least there was the interesting subplot that people were hearing that maybe Brock was sticking around, or maybe like that, you know, that turned out to be an interesting surprise, if not a particularly gratifying one. But yeah, there's just a lot of ways that to send the crowd home disappointed on Sunday.
Which honestly should be fine. They should be A-okay with sending the crowd home disappointed, because everybody can't get what they want all the time. And at some point.
No, but.
Heel Greg, heel stat guy. Buy your tickets and enjoy it. Enjoy yourself regardless.
No, everyone can't be happy all the time, but why give people the same thing they don't want 3 times in a row?
Because they haven't received it yet, though.
Huh?
They haven't actually received it.
Well, you're talking about Roman Reigns.
Talking about Brock.
Yeah, I think that Roman, I mean, I've apologized as much as anybody else for the guy, the perception of him that he's, you know, next in line for the title doesn't change even though he loses if he keeps getting put back in that position, right? So he might as well win, get it over with.
Exactly. Rip the band.
How would you guys react if Roman Reigns just walked out of the building with the title on Sunday? How would you guys react generally? See, I don't want to just listen to the loud boos. I want to watch the smarky claps as well. It's a loud boo. Now, what if What if Roman wins and Brock Lesnar, I'm sorry, and Braun Strowman cashes in and wins the title? What I find so funny about that is that, you know, Sam and I had a conversation on his podcast actually a few months ago about how clearly loved and pushed Braun Strowman is, right?
Right.
But the interesting part is, and this is just what makes wrestling fascinating, is that in, as much as Braun is clearly getting a similar treatment to Roman in a lot of ways, people love Braun Strowman, man. They really do. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's, if you know what he's going to do every time, because who can mess with Braun Strowman? People still want to see him win that title. So there are a few, I think, really interesting possibilities. All right. I want to run through a couple of matches on the card at least, and we'll take some questions. Let's start out with a match that we didn't really get last time and that I hope we get more of this time. And that is, Shinsuke Nakamura and Jeff Hardy. This is a match that I said would steal the show at the last pay-per-view.
It did, though. It did.
You know, some people don't agree with that, SGG. It was 5 seconds long.
So you remember, so the whole match is memorable is what you're saying.
Why are you defending this like it's Bret Hart versus Bob Backlund?
Because I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed the match.
I mean, here's the bottom. What do you expect from Shinsuke and Jeff?
I'm going to answer this in a really unexciting way. It's really hard to have any expectations at all when there's 13 or 14 matches on a card. Something's going to get abbreviated. On another pay-per-view, this could be the match that seals the show. I find it it would surprise me if they gave them enough time for that to happen.
Well, listen, I'm going to say something right now. I've been thinking a lot about the Hardys in general, and I've been watching a lot because... The fact of the matter is this, the moment of WrestleMania, their return, I mean, makes a noise. That was one of the greatest moments.
Yeah.
But at this point, I feel sort of over it. You know, I'm sort of done with the Hardys at this point. You know?
You're looking for me to agree with you?
No, I'm not looking to agree with you. I'm just telling you, I'm an edgy Christian guy myself.
Sure.
And I don't know. There's something to me that just feels like... I just don't know if this is what I want right now. It's more Jeff.
Okay, Podfather, you're over it. I guess you're over the Hardys, but it's all good. To me, the best tag team of all time is the Rock and Roll Express, man. They started it off. You know, and it's
are they your absolute number one, Rock and Roll Express?
No, probably the Rockers.
Really?
Yeah, that was the evolution of the Rock and Roll Express, in my opinion. But now, you know, we're the Hardys, and that's the way it is.
Do you ever beef with your brother and say, no, you're the Marty Jannetty of this tag team?
I have joked about that quite a bit, for sure, yeah.
All right, I haven't seen you since it happened. Wow, it was a year ago already. It was my first WrestleMania getting to be with WWE in any capacity. I had no clue that you guys were going to come back. I mean, only the same speculation that maybe everyone had heard.
It was rumored, but no.
But as you guys showed in the documentary recently, you did such a great job. Jeff Yeager? Jeff Yeager, please call your wife. Jeff,
not kayfabe.
It's an emergency, Jeff. Please call your wife. So yeah, make some noise for Jeff Hardy again. So okay, so I got to be. So I'm sitting there. You guys do this masterful job. No one knows you're there, and I went out to the crowd wearing my tuxedo to see you guys, and I'm sitting there watching. And I got to give so much credit to the New Day, who I thought did such a great job continuing to not let you know that who it was going to be. They really made you feel it was going to be the New Day. Catch them on Open Late next week on Complex, by the way. So you're, the music hits, Jeff, and I swear to God, there's a video of me screaming like a five-year-old. It was truly, I think, for all of us, one of the...
I think everybody has that same video, like even me just screaming like a girl.
Yeah, why'd you say even you? You'd be the... It's just as likely as me to scream like a little girl.
Well, I mean, you're more likely.
Okay, fine. How many times have you gone back and just watched that moment?
I mean, quite a few, but it's topped every moment as far as a 33-foot, you know, swanton to Randy Orton or the spear from Edge at the TLC match. It's became my go-to moment because really? We returned home. We started in the WWE. Gosh, it was 1994 when I did my first match with Razor Ramon, and it's where we started, and it's where we're going to end. So it's good to be back. Long story short.
Yeah, it was so phenomenal. It was, and I think I speak for all of us when saying it just felt so right to have you guys be back in WWE. And by the way, it's really cool though, because now here's what happened. I don't know if you had this experience yet, but like, you know, I did the TNA podcast. I had years of being very into TNA, and then depending on where they would take me, I'd go in and out. But now, you have this incredible library of stuff that a lot of your fans may have not gotten to celebrate when it happened. And the truth is, during those TNA years, I mean, what are some of the matches you're like most proud of from the TNA years? What are the like stories, rivalries, or matches that you will really hold on to and put in a special place for you?
Overall, the one with CM Punk was one of the most popular, you know, I think, because we were so opposite, you know, in our lifestyles and all that. And we had good chemistry in a sick way, but, Edge and Christian, the Dudley Boys, the TLC matches are immortal. I mean, they'll never be uncool. Kurt Angle, I've had many matches with him, like in TNA, and we had great chemistry. He's one of the best. I got to wrestle Shawn Michaels, and that was a dream come true because, in my opinion, he's the best wrestler, pound for pound, to ever exist in this world. And I've learned so much from watching that guy.
We'll agree to disagree on that.
I love to agree to disagree.
You can't, anything Bret Hart, you just can't talk to him about it.
You can if you would like an education on the...
Oh, okay. Oh my.
It's true. It's true.
You are such a truther. But is it insane? Like, have you, any of you guys watched the Hardys documentary that just came out recently on the network? Thank you also for being so forthcoming about your life and everything that you guys have gone through, especially like up to date. Cause I was, when I heard about it coming out, Chris Chambers from the network was telling me about the story. And he goes, dude, at the last minute, you know, Jeff had this thing happen, this DUI happen. He goes, and we told him, and he felt that we had to include everything to tell the story completely. What has allowed you to become so comfortable with your fan base, just knowing everything about who the real Jeff Hardy is?
You know, I was so nervous before I watched that thing, you know, because we filmed so much stuff and we went all out. I know I did. I talked about death and how lucky I am to even be alive, and I didn't know what they were going to fit into that 1 hour. But then when I watched it, I was so proud of the way they presented it, and it was so good up to the recent activity with me getting that DUI, and it was my first and last DUI, by the way.
Make some noise for that. There we go.
Because that's one thing, especially when you get in trouble with the law, when I did back in 09. That was a long, and when I came back stronger than ever in 2012 was one of my best wrestling years of all time. That's when I broke out the eyelid paint, and I remember winning the title from Austin Aries at Bound for Glory, and I hung around TNA for a while, and I was doing so good. But for that to happen, I've said it in the 24 documentary, you just gotta, you know, that night I said, okay, that's it. I'm fired. I'm done. And then, but then I said, you know what? I can't let this kill me. I got to just move on. It's happened. It's reality. And if they're grateful or gracious, or if they give me another chance, like the many chances I've had, I'm going to take my career super seriously, and that's where I am right now. And that I brought the paint back, I'm really feeling like the Enigma again, and I can't wait to rock it at SummerSlam. And I'm 16 hours into my community service. I only got 24 and another day to go. So.
How many hours does this live show count for? Is this
it should count for eight. It should count for eight.
At least 2-3 hours. All right. So Dipperstein and I were talking before, and Dipperstein he brought up a great thing. He was like, "Dude, please talk to him about the spear off the ladder. Like, please."
Oh my God.
Can you take us through that a little bit? Obviously, when you hit a swanton from a ladder or jump off a scaffolding, all the crazy things you've done, I'm guessing there has to be something very different about when the actual fall itself is shared with someone else. So were you nervous about that? Did you have any idea that you would land the right way? Did you land the right way? Take us through that.
Whose idea was it, too? That's what I want to know.
For sure. You know, we did the table for three with Edge and Christian a while back, and I was going, I know that was my idea, but I'm not really sure. Did we kind of collaborate together and come up with that the night before or something? And I'm pretty sure it was my idea. And just like the Frogger spot that I didn't succeed in at the one, there's so many ideas. And I think that was my job through all the matches to come up with the one crazy spot to do and see if we could get away with it. But it's just like a big motocross jump to me. Like, I build my own jumps, and that's how I broke my leg back in 2015. I'd built three that year. I conquered the first two. The third one, I didn't. Came up short, cased it, broke my tibia. Naturally, I was out for a year before I was good to go again. But I think it's the same kind of thing when you have this idea in your mind, especially when you share it with somebody else. It's even cooler because you got to work together as a team. But fear is part of the fun. And that night, I was terrified. I was going to break my neck. I was going to land wrong from that high. But everything worked out, and you know, I got up hurting, and it was one of those things. The payoff was so worth it, especially in front of that many people. And again, it's that thing when you come up with something in your mind and you believe in yourself and you bring it into real life, it's just so worth it. So
if you were so, if you were terrified that you were going to break your neck, why did you do it? Is it us? Is that
because I was terrified I was going to break my neck. That's what makes it fun in a sick way. Seriously. I mean, and if y'all like, that's with these freestyle motocross guys, I don't know if y'all see what these guys do now. I mean, it's insane. This one, Josh Sheenan did a triple backflip. My buddy told me about it. I said, no, that's not possible. There's no way he did that. I went to Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus deal, and it was on his property. And damn, if there was like a 30-foot launch ramp, he went 100 feet up in the air and did three backflips and landed it. And the feeling he had in his heart and mind after that, I mean, he could have died easily. So my fear was I could have broke my neck. But, man, those guys just go all out because they love what they do. And that's why I love pro wrestling, because I can express myself in this manner.
Do you have you ever talked, ever had any conversations with Shane McMahon, another guy who clearly has an obsession, although he does it in a different way than you do, but still has sort of that same rush?
As broken, woken Matt Hardy would say, he has a very bad addiction from falling off high things. So, no, but I kind of now, you know, I've had this dream about jumping off the Hell in a Cell, doing the Swanton naturally, but man, I might need to delete that thought because it's way more important to be healthy for my little girls and my family and for the WWE Universe.
So, You've been champion of the world. You've been everything. You've been almost every title. What title have you not had?
I'm a Grand Slam champion.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, in this final, in this run, which will at some point be the final run, I'm guessing you don't end up in some other promotion after this. Is there, what other boxes are there left to check in the WWE for Jeff Hardy?
I do want to be in a Hell in a Cell match. I mean, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but just to say that I've been in one, because I've never been in one. And I had this idea, too, about this. I'm not sure what it's called. Maybe y'all can help me with this. Do you remember WCW when they used to film it in Orlando at Universal Studios? And there was a ring on this thing. It would spin. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And it was just for, you know, attraction. But I'm thinking this match, like, okay, say rotation, whatever it may be. But like 5 minutes into the match, doot, starts to spin as you're wrestling, you know. Because I just wonder if you can choreograph some spots. And I'm just going, I think I could do a swanton as the ring. But then every 5 minutes or 3 minutes, it gets faster. Hey, I don't know. What do y'all think?
Can you? Now, here's what I want. I want you to make sure you have a WWE camera with you when you go suggest this to Vince McMahon.
That's for sure. I have to, man.
I think you'll go for it. How How proud are you of what your brother's done recently? Because, I mean, I just thought from a creative standpoint, you want to talk about a moment that got us all back? How many people had not watched TNA for a long time until that final deletion? I mean, that made so many people run to the TV. How proud are you of just what your brother's gotten to do?
That was some of the funnest stuff ever, because it was like six people at max out there just filming all throughout the night, moving spotlights 300 feet, 400 feet, working our butts off.
Shout out to Jeremy Borash.
Yeah, for real. Jeremy Borash, she was a genius right there with Matt. They would get together and meet, and then I would throw in all the crazy ideas about what we do next. Like the first final deletion, I had my symbol, my TNA Enigma symbol. A lot of people get that confused with the Hardy Boys symbol somehow. I don't know how. But so I said, why don't we just burn that thing? Maybe I go to do a big spot off the top and we can just burn it. And Matt about burned himself up, because we were by far thinking we're professionals, but like we would gasoline things and set it to fire. You know, it's just crazy. But like it was such a beautiful thing to get together, just that little group of people, and for them to air it and for it to be as successful as it was. And then the next one, you know, Delete or Decay, I dug out my symbol in the ground and we lit it on fire, and it was so beautiful. It was so, but I worked my ass off for that, and that's one thing. I did all that, you know, and Billy Corgan was actually out there that night, 4 o'clock in the morning, when we finally got a good take of that. And we all went crazy. The lead singer, Smashing Pumpkins, is in my backyard, and he's directing this with us and giving us ideas. It was just such a cool memory, and oh my gosh, I'll never forget that. But yeah, Matt, I mean, he's a genius to come up with that broken character, and whether it stays woken or whatever happens to him, he knows what he's doing.
All right, what's going to happen to, what are you going to do to Shinsuke Nakamura on Sunday, man?
Yeah.
If Randy Orton don't kick me in the nuts or stretch my ear another gauge forward, I'm going to beat him, and I'm going to be the U.S. champion come Tuesday on SmackDown Live at the Barclays Center.
Go see Jeff Hardy at the Barclays Center for SmackDown, and make some noise for this future Hall of Famer, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah!
The mage one.
Sorry, it's a little Insta story. That was really cool.
I know we talk a lot about how hard wrestlers work. It's not just falling off ladders. It's the nonstop schedule and everything else. He just told me backstage, and I had no idea, that like the SmackDown crew is going to work a house show in Atlantic City on Monday and then coming back here for SmackDown. Like, they don't even get the day.
It's insane.
Isn't it great just to be able to chill in Brooklyn for 4 days or whatever? He's like, no.
When do I get to do that, is what he asked.
Yeah, every time they do these four straight, the SmackDown crew always leaves on Monday, which is crazy. Because, yeah, at least the Raw people get to go to sleep in their hotel on Sunday night, wake up on Monday and go back to the same building. But yeah, SmackDown leaves and comes back. Now, speaking of someone who works hard, this man worked very hard. Unfortunately, it was for a very short time that he worked with us. But now you can catch his amazing work at CBS Sports. Make some noise for the Brian Campbell.
Thank you. It's been a year and a half since I left GP.
Oh, man.
I've got to say, guys, with a tear in my eye, that this is the greatest moment in my life. Because whether you like us or don't like us, sit down and take a look. Because the Rosenberg podcasting family tree is the best thing going in wrestling today.
Woo! Woo! Fantastic.
And the funniest part about that, because you're not wrong, I have been so lucky to work with such awesome people, is such happenstance. When you really think about the origin of Cheap Heat, it comes from Shoemaker doing an appearance on Simmons podcast, and I DM'd you. Don't cheer for Simmons. That dastardly lowlife. We boo when we hear that name. Sorry. No, so you did Simmons podcast, and I slid into your DMs, and I was like, we started a conversation about trying a podcast, and the timing just worked right. Then SGG is the only person that you can actually make more sense of how you ended up here. Cypher Sounds asked if you could just...
Yeah, I wormed my way onto the podcast, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one.
It is.
And by the way, in the grand scheme of podcast nerdery, it is in that way like a spinoff moment from Juan Epstein.
Yeah, it is. Because I remember I met you guys at like a bowling event. They were taping the Hot 97 reality show. I don't even know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this. I do.
I was there and I took a picture with you and Scythe. And then afterwards.
I don't remember meeting you. Sorry. No, I remember
okay.
The bowling.
It's okay. I introduced myself to you about like five times.
Okay.
But yeah, so I got cool with Scythe after that. And then I was listening to an episode of Cheap Heat, and it was like the same thing. I just hit up Scythe at like 2 in the morning. I was like, yo, can you ask Rosenberg if I can just jump on his show one day? And he was like,
well, no, hold on. Wow, you're really revealing a lot. He said,
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, no. Now, hold on. He said, can Greg, he's a nice kid, he's a lawyer, he got me out of something or other.
I did. I can't reveal what
of course.
My client.
But he said, can Greg just come sit in on the podcast? And here's the part that, of course, Greg forgets. He said, he's even willing to do stats or something like that.
I said that?
I know. It's shocking.
When he DM slid.
So then, fast forward, when Shoemaker was recruited or kept, I should say, by Bill Simmons, ESPN and Andrew Feldman, an editor at ESPN, said, hey, we want to have you try this guy, Brian Campbell. And I, just being like the obligatory radio asshole, and Sam, you're still here, right? Sam, you relate to what I'm saying. In radio, we have an obligation, if management tells you anything, to be like, that. That's ridiculous. I'm not taking some fucking clown from Bristol and just putting him on my show. So I'm like, sure, have him on as a guest. I'll see how he does. And we did one, you guys may remember it. I was in Bristol. We did one show together and I was like, okay, he's almost as good as Shoemaker. This guy's really, this guy's really good.
Wow.
Almost.
He said almost.
And so I really just lucked out into having you as well. And I got to tell you, you're also sincerely missed having your wisdom. I mean, Greg and I are just a couple of yo-yos who like wrestling. I really believe that the two of you like have an understanding and a brain for it that is different. And so you're both missed on the podcast.
I feel like every time I talk to anyone on the radio or on a podcast or in front of a crowd, I end up saying some version of the same thing. But it really says a lot about where wrestling is right now, right? When I started writing about wrestling 10 years ago, like, there were people in the comment section of every blog post I wrote on Deadspin.com saying, why the hell is there wrestling content on this sports blog?
Yeah.
Right? It's like 5 years ago, even, there wasn't room for three different wrestling podcasts. Like, there just wouldn't have been space in the ether for it. And now people, like, recruit us away to do the things that we all do together on our own.
It's actually really, really insane. And then, yeah, then there's spinoffs of spinoffs. There's so many different shows. And the fact that we can all even survive in a world where Conrad Thompson has 15 monstrous podcasts and still have room to breathe is amazing.
But if we're going to end this Barry Horowitz fest, the common thread here is Peter Rosenberg. I mean, action took place. Hey, kind of wet. Come on. Don't forget the J, the I, the M, the Y, yo. I need a body bag.
All right. Yo, you guys don't know his old school rap references. That's what makes Brian Campbell Brian Campbell. Hey, so I haven't talked to you about wrestling in a long time. What are you psyched about for SummerSlam?
Oh, you were talking about G1 or SummerSlam? Sorry. All right, SummerSlam. Fired up for SummerSlam. Look, come on. If you're asking me what match I want to see, I'm going to tell you Rollins Ziggler, because it has the most potential to get us star nerds going crazy. And I don't mean the Star of David on that guy's hat from the Cheap Heat family who introed us spectacularly, by the way. I'm talking about the five-star system that a lot of us live in and we love in. But what am I most excited about?
Don't reference Dave Meltzer this week, all right?
Yeah. Well, Rosenberg was thinner back in the Grantland days. Here's what I'm trying to say, though. Let it linger. Thank you. Here's what I'm trying to say, though. What am I most excited for SummerSlam? The Miz and Daniel Bryan. And if you say anything less, you're fooling yourself, all right?
You know, I think you're absolutely right. And we had there was a lot of back and forth in our group chat that Shoemaker ignored about The Miz and Daniel Bryan. And like, is this too soon? Here's my question. Is there a possibility that this actually culminates at SummerSlam, or is this the beginning of something?
Well, nothing ever culminates, right? Unless
that's the beauty
retires.
Of wrestling,
yeah,
right?
I think that they have to go into Sunday thinking about looking at this as a culmination. But it's impossible that they're not. It's impossible for them to not have in the back of their mind that, like, the rematch for this is going to be at WrestleMania for the title, right? I mean, for the WWE World title.
Yes, I would assume
like,
you're
this
right.
This is it's like the greatest feud in the modern wrestling world, and so I wrote this in my piece, but the whole, you know, the premise of the three-part promo package they did on Tuesday night, and their whole relationship is they both think that the other one needed them more than they needed the other one. Very similar to your relationship with me, Rosenberg. but the answer probably here in the same way is that they both really need each other, you know, and they're not, and they're both.
Oh wow.
They're.
Are you guys gonna hug?
I didn't mean that to be sweet. I just mean that like.
So
like,
wait, am I Maurice and that's, what's that baby's name?
No, Greg's Maurice.
Oh, sorry about that.
SGG, is that your number one on the card this Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. Cause it's the one that has not only the potential to, it has the best story behind it, honestly. We've been waiting for this one the most. Like, as much as we want to see the other matches and as much as they've been stretching out Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, this one's been 8 years in the making, honestly.
It's so beautiful. The beginning of it is truly the beauty of this story. The idea, like, you know, I said this on the podcast last week. I think that complaining is such an essential part of the wrestling fans' experience. That is what we love, and that's one thing that I always try to convey to the WWE is no one should ever mind complaining because that is literally what we do as passionate fans. And as much as we may complain about different things, when you go all the way back to an era, which, by the way, is not my favorite, I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you that 2008, 2009, 2010 it's not
pug
exactly
pug. Yeah,
that was a weird rolling. I didn't.
Yeah,
know.
I'm Lithuanian. I really can't pull.
It felt
off.
Like a Matt Hardy. I thought you were doing a Matt Hardy thing.
No, the only the only Jeff Hardy thing I would do is just update the scoreboard on who's on the Bret and Shawn side. How about Jeff Hardy coming on this side of the couch? Right? Yeah.
Wait, where does this room? Where does this room lie on? Are you a Bret Hart person? Are you a Shawn Michaels person?
HBK.
Show is over.
That's why this building is shaped like a toilet bowl.
I just want to update the standings. The people who are on Bret's Hart side publicly now... Greg Hyde,
Roman Reigns,
Bret Hart, and Roman Reigns. And that's it, brother.
It's not true. There's some other people, Greg.
I asked Hulk Hogan, and he said, I want SBK, HBK. That's a bad, it was bad, guys.
Too soon, it's too soon.
We're going to edit that part out of the post to get that up.
By the way, a SummerSlam match, SGG, in a handicap match, you versus HBK and Hulk Hogan. What do you think, brother?
I think Hulk Hogan thinks the B in HBK stands for black and he's going to turn heel on Shawn. So I'm good either way.
We've already seen that happen once, brother. That was another SummerSlam. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. Nice try, Terry. Oh, that was the greatest name of a podcast. I mean, it was the greatest tweet of all time, and then I'm so proud to have stolen it so aptly. Do you guys want to ask some random questions about Cheap Heat and about wrestling in general?
I see a hand.
All right, hold on. I'm going to grab a microphone. Here's what I'm going to do. No, I have another microphone, I think. Don't we have six microphones? Is there another one on your couch?
One over here.
You hit it.
It kept rolling into me. I don't know.
Hey, how about the special guest tonight, you know?
Jeff Hardy?
I will tell you, Big Kaz not coming through that door, right? The real one, Consensual Johnson, not coming through that door. Neville, the king of the cruiserweights, not coming through.
Are we just going to talk? It's funny talking about, talking about how awesome Miz and Bryan is going to be. I said earlier when we were talking about Nakamura, the U.S. title match, I find it hard to imagine they're going to give it that much time. When I was writing my piece the other day, I was thinking to myself, how many matches are there this weekend that it's not, maybe it'll be good, but like if they gave it 15 minutes, it will be an awesome match. Like without a shadow of a doubt. The Intercontinental title match that you were talking about?
You're damn right, because
AJ Samoa Joe.
Yep.
Gargano Ciampa, like no doubt in the world.
Hey, how about the whole damn takeover card? You know what I'm saying?
Guaranteed to kill it.
There are more sure things given time this weekend than I can remember.
Man, I
sure
love
things given time is like an advanced metric that I got to really.
That's the problem though, is that they are going to give it time, and it's going to be like a 6-hour show.
No, 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 no. We have a simple 2-hour kickoff show. All right. Which features both myself and Sam Roberts, so everyone should tune in at 5 p.m. And in fact, I'm being paired on Sunday with, I know, everyone on the internet's favorite, John Bradshaw Layfield.
Woo!
I know, I wish his music hit. I would pop so big if his music hit and he came out. It's only a simple 2 hours there, then a 4-hour non-special start time. It's the regular start time now, 7 o'clock. So it's a simple 6-hour day, Greg. It's a simple 6-hour day. Listen, when football starts, if anyone still watches football, that's a 7-hour day.
At home, on your couch.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
In the stadium.
Wait, so you don't want to come to...
Well, no, we'll discuss that.
Okay, got it. All right, where did Zach Linder go with the microphone? Zach?
I'm right here. So I'm going to go to this guy first, and then we'll do raised hands. Yeah.
Okay, sure. What's your name, sir?
My name is Kervin. Great show so far.
Thanks, man.
My question is, what are the chances of Kevin Owens leaving SummerSlam with the Universal title?
So, I have a take on this.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Hot take.
This isn't hot. I wrote it this week, but it's not even that. It wasn't that hot when I wrote it. But I think it doesn't take that much to twist yourself into this line of thinking. Like I said before, a cash in, if there's not a cash in, there's a big chance for fan disappointment. And if they want to avoid that fan disappointment, they gotta go with some sort of cash-in gimmick. But it does seem like Braun Strowman, you talked about this before, he's a lot like Roman Reigns in the way he's being positioned, but he's not getting shotgun to the title, right? That hasn't happened yet. And it really feels to me like they're, as much as they're trying with Roman over and over again to rebuild him, they're sort of at the exact same time learning their lesson and not doing that with Braun Strowman, even though it might have made more sense to put the title on Braun Strowman 6 months ago. Like, who knows? But all of that is to say, if you want to do the cash in, but you want to be methodical with Braun Strowman, it's nuts. I mean, if you go back in time 2 years and say this out loud, it sounds like the craziest thing a wrestling fan could say. Kevin Owens is the safest bet. He is the safest option. No one will complain.
David, maker of fine leathered footwear, if you cash in KO, you will have ruined Braun Strowman's 2018, where they put him in the on-deck circle for the entire calendar year when he was red hot coming off the Roman feud.
It's so easy that with all the stipulations, I don't know that I think this is going to happen, but if Kevin Owens like starts the match in the parking lot and the camera goes to him and he has like Nicholas tied to a lamppost and then he runs into the ring and Braun Strowman gets counted out saving him, like that's it, like no one gets,
oh my god, the Nicholas tied to it's what a disturbing image that is.
Braun Strowman doesn't have to lose heat.
Are you Vince Russo? That's an amazing idea.
Bro.
Nicholas
bro.
On a pole.
Okay. I was going to say, there are so many options. For example, what if Chris Jericho comes back and helps out Kevin Owens to take out Braun Strowman?
There's a lot of stuff that could happen.
There's a lot. I do agree. I see what you're saying, Campbell, but I do think there's a way to do it, because my thing about Strowman is, does he need a briefcase? Does he need a title? Does he need anything?
He needs a storyline.
He might need a title, but he doesn't need that briefcase.
He needs an actual storyline.
That's the more compelling.
I mean, we love the grappling hook. We love finding new ways to show his strongman skills, but when do we grow tired of it?
Oh, I believe that on Sunday, and this is a hot take I'll say, I believe Braun Strowman is going to push over the Barclays Center.
He's going to, thank God.
Zach, where are you at?
All right, this guy right here.
Hey, what's up? My name's Dylan. I've been listening since the start.
Oh, thanks, man.
My favorite wrestling podcast. I think universally acclaimed is probably the best match from this past WrestleMania was Charlotte versus Asuka. And I'm not the type of fan that's really able to watch the show week to week. So I was really surprised to learn just a few days ago that Asuka's not on the SummerSlam card. And so I was wondering your thoughts about that. And then the larger thing, why there seem to be so many NXT superstars that thrive down there, but when they're called up, they just seem to really flounder.
Phenomenal question.
Great question.
Thank you, dude. Great question.
And it will be one day fixed when Paul gets the book. Oh, brother. Oh, brother.
Oh, wait, you want to see? You want to see?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Not that Paul.
For the reigning, defending, undisputed, universal heavyweight champion, Brock Lesnar! Now, usually at shows like this, once I get past that, I get myself into a lot of trouble.
That's what you're here for.
All right.
So what you got? Anything provocative?
Well, I think the better question is, what do you have? Because I might be sitting too
close. Stand back. I'll show you right now.
No.
Hey.
No.
I was asking about the pepper spray.
No, not that pepper spray. not the pecker spray. No.
Oh, did you just make a d- out of yourself? Wow.
What do you got out there, Zach?
All right, I got a question right here. I just want to say
Once I get past the Brock Lesnar part, I always seem to get myself in trouble at these things.
We have to make sure you make it to Sunday, Paul.
Before we get to the question, I just want to say I think the Jew World Order has reached new heights with Paul.
That's a really good point. What do you got there, Zach?
So I have a question.
Why would you exclude him from a comment like that?
I'm in the trot.
You are?
He's in the Jew World Order.
So this is your yarmulke.
All right, go for it.
So, Paul.
Nice to know we're all circumcised on the couch.
Me too.
And you're also not on the couch.
Yeah, we don't need to. Go ahead, bring it.
So, Paul, you're a big fan of Rebel.
Wait, where are you?
I'm right here.
I'm doing Dark Room.
Straight ahead, Paul.
We're in the center.
Stand up. Wave your arms. Really, really. Wave your arms like this so I can see you. Seriously.
There you go.
I just wanted to see if you would actually do that. Yeah, go ahead.
So, Paul, you're a big fan of Rebels. So who do you think, in your opinion, after the Shawn Michaels, the Steve Austins, the CM Punks, who's the next big Rebel in the WWE?
It's Brock Lesnar!
Seth Rollins.
Oh, wow.
Seth Rollins, because he continuously comes up with moves that are politically incorrect and they have to tell him to stop doing them. But they become so popular that they end up saying to him, all right, go ahead, we'll deal with the fallout. You go do it. And that's because he's innovative and he rebels against a system that tries to be politically correct, and he continues to be politically incorrect. And when he came up with the saying of burn it down, he was being honest about what he thought would be the constraints of what were being put on him, that he's going to break through that and do things his way and innovate a style that you could only see in a Seth Rollins match.
He's a modern day New Jack. I love that.
All right. We have Andrew Goldstein has a question. Andrew Goldstein.
Hi, Paulie. We are 8 blocks from your old stomping grounds, Studio 54. Can you regale us with a story, please? And I love you. It's been a while.
Those who tell you they remember Studio 54 probably weren't actually there. And being that Studio 54 was 1985, 31, 32, 33 years, statute of limitations. At this point, under advice of counsel, I would like to respectfully invoke my Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination.
Safe. What do you got, Zach?
All right. What's your name, sir?
I'm Danny.
All right, Danny, what's up?
Damn, okay. Danny, relax. Wow, Danny. I'm Danny!
Yeah! What's going on? My question is, what are the daily challenges of running a wrestling promotion like ECW or SmackDown back in the day?
Waking up in the morning and not being taken to the cardiac unit in the hospital. I think actually the person that said it best was Dana White. That when he wakes up in the morning and his feet hit the ground, he knows he's already 100 miles deep to deal with. And that's what it's like running a promotion on a day-to-day basis, or even just being the lead writer for SmackDown. The moment you wake up in the morning, whether you've had 2 hours sleep or six hours sleep, my ass, right? Whether you've, you know, oh my God, I have 100 problems to deal with, and you can wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you're still 2 hours behind. That's just the nature of the job. You just have to deal with everything that's coming at you, and it never, ever, 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 ever stops.
At the stage in your career in which you started working for Vince McMahon, could you have, because you are a leader by nature, could you have worked for anyone else? Because you don't, to me, seem like an employee kind of guy.
I really don't consider myself in the Vince McMahon business. I don't consider myself in the WWE business. I pretty much now have found a place in life where I'm in the Brock Lesnar business. What?
Get money, as he said.
Get money.
Get money.
Oh, get money? Oh, trust me, I get paid.
All right.
You don't think he gets that level of compensation on that schedule and the Jew cuts himself out, do you? That's why you hire the Hebrew.
All right, speaking of the Hebrew, back to Zach Linder. What do you have?
What's your name, sir?
Tom.
Tom, what do you got?
Wait, Zach Linder, formerly from WWE.com?
That's right. That's right.
You may know him from the Ribera Steakhouse oral history.
That was a great article.
Damn right.
Good. It was very good.
What do you got?
All right, Mr. Heyman, we're lacking on...
Where are you from?
I'm from England.
What part of England?
Brighton, South Coast.
I don't know. Where is that?
Southeast, like right below London.
What?
Right below London, like an hour south of London.
So you're like the sack of London.
Basically. Oh.
I get it. Okay. So, yes, sir, I'm so sorry. Please continue.
Wow. All right, so we're seriously lacking in factions or manager stables right now. So hypothetically, if we were to get the Dangerous Alliance 2.0...
There is a Dangerous Alliance.
Who might be in that?
Oh, no, there's one already.
All right.
Pull back the curtain.
Would you like me to tell you who's in it?
Yes,
please.
All right, two members. One, Brock Lesnar. Two, Paul Heyman. That is as dangerous an alliance as you're ever going to get in WWE, and it's as dangerous as an alliance as you're ever going to need in WWE, UFC, pro wrestling, MMA, or any place else that can even think they can handle us together.
By the way, isn't it
all right?
And by the way, so that I say it for the record, I'm not a manager. I'm an advocate.
Well done.
All right, but it's the two of you and also Bobby Eaton, right? Okay. What's your name, sir?
Kyle. And who?
Bobby Eaton.
And Bobby Beautiful Bobby Eaton.
And Beautiful Bobby, yeah.
I was going to say, isn't it crazy that you've had two clients who have both performed in UFC at some point? One is Brock Lesnar.
You're going to do this right now. You already started.
No, and that's it. That's it. One is Brock Lesnar. All right, what do you have, Zach?
All right, what's your name, sir?
Kyle.
Kyle, what do you got?
Paul.
No, we knew. Paul. You didn't have to answer it. That was the punchline.
Paul, do you ever...
Wait, where are you?
Shit. Right here. Hey.
Oh, hey. Okay, right, all right, here. Sit down. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No. Seriously, right. Stand up. Right. No.
No,
really, sit down. No, really, sit down. No, seriously, sit down.
Do you listen to him?
No, seriously, you gotta sit down.
Do you ever...
No, you're being rude by standing up. Please sit down. Stand the f*** up. Where is your stand up? Stand up. I'll stand up.
Okay.
You know, in the White House, when the president stands up, no one's allowed to sit down. And I didn't learn that from our current administrator in the White House. I learned that from watching The West Wing, which was written by a guy from Scarsdale named Aaron Sorkin, also a Jew.
Yeah, I know.
Aaron Sorkin,
of course.
Okay, but you got to stand up because I'm standing up.
Okay.
Seriously, stand up.
Do you ever see a member from the New Day winning the WWE championship? And if not, why not?
Could you ever see a member of the New Day winning the WWE championship?
Why would you break up that group? They're phenomenal. Why are they going to be more entertaining separately? Why would you take a group like that and split them up? It'd be like splitting up the shit. No, never mind that example.
Oh.
What? Hey, when Roman Reigns was in the Shield, you guys thought he was the coolest freaking bad Samoan.
Oh, yes, you did.
We have the tape.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh,
yes, you did. Oh, wait till they make the hot tag to Roman Reigns. He'll kick everybody. And then, once they split apart, boo, we hate you. It's the Samoan Jesus and everything else. Right. No, just seeing how much merchandise the New Day sells, if I'm a member of the New Day, I don't care if they offer me the WrestleMania main event by myself. I'd sit there and say, no, you're not splitting this group up. They're on a roll. They are the most entertaining tag team, maybe with the exception of the Usos. And so, if I was a member of that team, you'd have to sue me to break us up.
Not break us up. I mean, what about DX?
I appreciate the example, and the example is very valid, but it's a whole different scenario and a whole different time. Because the moment you put a singles title on one of them, by definition, the money becomes one against the other. And once you do that, it's never the same. It's never the same once you do that. If you had seen Animal versus Hawk, you would never believe in Road Warriors again. Once you break up a team like that, the reunion is always just a reunion. It's, hey, they used to be, but now they're in their run. At the end of their run, when they have nothing else, okay, but for now, no. And that's the, and again, it's a valid point, but it's the exception that defines the rule.
You said Bubba and Devon? Yeah, but I mean, I would argue that their singles moment in WWE, I mean, Bubba's single moment wasn't in WWE. I mean, honestly, that came later. What else do we have, Zach?
All right, we have a question here.
By the way,
make some noise for the Hall of Famer, Mark Henry! Hold on. And also a big thank you. Make some noise for Paul Heyman, New York City.
How's everybody doing? Okay, I'm just checking. It would be a dude say that shit. You know, I didn't wear this tie here. I know this shit look real awkward.
No, it doesn't. It looks great.
I found it backstage, and I was like, I'm putting this on. Just to entertain myself. The hell with everybody else.
So, Mark, how the hell are you?
I was good until this motherfucker wanted to stand up and take my hand.
Now, somebody's going to get their ass kicked. Mark, I apologize for that.
The Hall of Pain is about to start back.
Mark, it was the way I was raised. I'm sorry.
That was bad. That was so funny. First of all, two things. One is poor Brian Campbell just got eaten alive by Paul Heyman in a way we've never seen before. And then it took me a minute to realize that it is serious wrestling faux pas. I know I did. There are probably at least three people who hate me for not hitting the stand-up in catering when someone comes around.
Yeah, man, when you see a vet come in, you better show that respect.
That's why the Freebirds got fired in 85, let's be honest.
I know. Yeah. I've heard that a thousand times.
Around. Yeah.
He a paid comic, guy. Y'all laugh at that.
So, Mark, are you...
Good one.
Are you enjoying retired life?
You know what, man? I don't know if it's really retirement because, hell, I'm on the road more now than I was when I was wrestling.
And you're on the radio now, by the way. Shout out to Busted Open. You're on there every week,
man.
A couple times a week with Dave LaGreca.
And it's expanding. I'll be on more here in a little bit.
Now, you, let's be honest. Your wife doesn't want you to come home, does she?
That's what it is. She's like, listen, you got to get out.
That part is hard, though, right? When you've been gone forever and then all of a sudden you're just home for
like long stretches, like 2 or 3 days in a row.
Because now you're f***ing up her rotation. This is what now you're
like,
getting
away. We'll do this. And it's like, no, I already got shit planned. And it's like, okay.
Are you doing anything on Sunday? You're just hanging out?
You know, I'm hanging out. I mean, we got a party. You know, so y'all could come over to King's and hang out with us before the show.
Oh, before a Busted Open party before the show on Sunday.
A Busted Open show.
All right, so what we already asked the question, what are you most looking forward to at SummerSlam?
You know what, man? It's hard to bet against Brock and Roman. Just for the simple fact that there's so much history between.
Damn, y'all would, if anyone else had said that, y'all would have booed the out of
y'all
them.
Sleeping it was
Mark Henry.
Thank you for the respect, guys. But look, if you want to boo me, if you want to boo me because you think what I'm saying is bullshit, do it. Like everybody in town.
Tell us why, though.
I'd ask you. Throw your ass out. Where's security at?
So tell us why, though. Why are you most pumped for Brock and Roman?
The main reason is I want to see Brock perform with all the pressure on him. The pressure is not on Roman. The pressure is on Brock to come in and to perform at the same level as he did in India. So, or in Saudi. If he could do that, then we got something special with Roman. And it's a building thing for Roman. Brock can win or lose. It don't matter. But if Roman wins, it makes him a made man.
What's the feeling like? I think I'm guessing you had an experience like this. It's the wrestling business is ebbs and flows. You're on top, you're in the middle, you're lower. People have certain levels, they'll only go as low or as high as. But I'm sure you've had a time where you were at one spot, and then all of a sudden, let's say, for one of all of our favorite runs of all time, when the Hall of Pain gets open, all of a sudden it starts to feel different. What's it like when you notice going through that curtain and hear the reaction? You've been working all these years, and now all of a sudden the reaction is different.
You know, it's a good feeling because it's one of those times where you rarely get to pat yourself on the back. And, you know, wrestling is a kick in the balls most days. So, like, when you get an opportunity where the crowd starts to respect your work differently than they did the week or month before, then, you know, it's one of those, you're like, I did that, you know. And it's just a good feeling.
Now, Mark, somebody in the crowd had a really educated question before about Brock Lesnar's tattoo. If he had asked for your advice when he left, specifically the tip, just for a second, just to see how it felt, what would you have said to Brock about that sword idea?
Well, I don't really objectify other men's bodies.
You keep ending up in the same spot.
You know, you see a dude, he's like wanting to talk about another dude's body and it looked like a penis. It's like, whoa, is there some kind of like heat you got with Brock or some kind of...
No, you don't want any heat with Brock.
Kind of
it's very cheapy.
Envy?
Very cheapy. Yeah.
What's your relationship like with Brock? I don't think we've ever really talked about that.
It's good, man. It's really respectful. You know, a lot of guys are fearful, and they mistake fear for respect. And Brock, no, I'm not afraid of him. So he respects the fact that I'm not that dude that just go, hey, Brock, how you doing? Like, you know, it's a little bit different. So our relationship.
That's why Mark respected me when I didn't stand up like a jerk. Now I regret it.
I
really
get your
deep inside. He respects this.
No, so the person, the kind of person you described who goes up and is like, oh, Brock, he can't respect about someone like that.
Brock will not respect that.
What about,
neither will Vince.
What about someone who sees him in the hallway and just puts his head down and keeps walking the other direction?
You know what? Brock would not notice him.
Okay, good. Like, perfect. All right.
They don't
care. Asking for a friend.
He didn't see you.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, he will not. He will just keep moving.
Anybody?
Like your ass was there. Yeah, be quiet. You don't have a mic in your hand.
Please, sir.
Please. Stay seated, please.
Sony Hall's insurance policy is such that. Hey, Zach, are you still out there?
Yeah, I'm here, Peter.
Does anybody have a question for the world's strongest man, Mark Henry?
Yeah, I'm here with a guy. He's got a question. I think he said his name is, how do you pronounce that, sir? Is it Sam? Sam?
Sam Roberts.
Oh. The dastardly Sam Roberts.
No. Not that Sam Roberts.
Sam got heat.
No, just on our in our universe. A lot of heat.
I don't like Sam.
Sam, go ahead.
I've always wondered, you know, Mark, in the life of sexual chocolate, who would you consider your greatest on-screen lover?
Wow. I got to tell you, that's a great question. That's why, Sam, that's why you're known as the last professional broadcaster.
Yeah, it's a question from the last professional broadcaster.
I can't really answer that question without there being a lady on the stage. I need hold on a second. Come on,
anyone have his sexual chocolate?
It's okay. I'm just barring her. I'm not gonna keep her.
Hello, baby.
Come on, sweetheart. Come on, where to stay? Let her on the stage. You don't want to come. I need a pretty lady sitting next to me.
All right, we need a lady on the stage.
I need motivation.
By the way, I'm so proud that we have a lady at the
show.
Should
we give them their privacy and let them have their own couch?
I got you. I'm not gonna let you fall.
All right, here we go. Okay, don't hurt yourself.
What, how you doing, baby?
There she is. Don't we have a, guys, there's a real life lady at the TP party.
You right there. Okay.
This will be the only time I ever put it back on.
Oh, Mark.
Okay.
In the era we live.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome. I just had to, you know, he asked me a question about sex with chocolate, so I had to have a pretty lady sit next to me, you know what I'm saying?
Again, about the insurance.
I'm sorry, I was distracted. What was the question again?
I think Sam asked, what was your favorite lover in the sexual chocolate years? The greatest lover, sorry.
Of course, Mae Young. I mean, you know, and the biggest thing that I get about the Mae Young issue was, man, were you mad that they suggested that? It wasn't them. Like, that was me. You know, we started talking about this character and, China had disappeared at that point and went on to bigger and better things with Triple H. And I was like, shoot, man, me and Mae Young should do this deal. And they were like, what? And I was like, no, man, we got chemistry. I kissed her like I loved her, I'm telling you right now.
There are stories out there, Mark. I don't want to say anything out of school. There are stories out there that when you guys were shooting, there are times in which Mae Young would try to crack you and would sometimes be rather loose with her hands and do whatever it took to make Mark Henry laugh. Is that true?
Listen, that woman was crazy. I don't know. If you get a chance, go back and look up the Valentine's Day deal we did. I had on these red silk boxers, and I don't wear boxers because, you know, this ain't my jam. But
Whoa.
Security, throw his out.
It's all this table.
Man, hey, listen, man. I'm all for you. Look, if that's what you like, if that's what you know, don't defend yourself now. No. You sitting next to three dudes. I don't see no wife. You know, just because you got a beard don't mean that.
By the way, it's the idea of being at a live event. I love you for doing it at a live event. What kind of underwear do you wear? What kind of underwear? Tell me about your underwear. So tell us. About your underwear.
The boxes have a little flap deal, you know, so like it was hard trying to contain myself, but Mae would not allow that to happen. She just kept on, like, you know, so my arm is on the blanket, like, trying to stop. Bruce Pritchard is going into cardiac arrest trying to direct this whole thing, and it's just like, and then Mae reaches in her purse in the hotel and lights up a cigar and just cross her legs, and I'm like, Mae was wild. Like, I mean, there's never been nobody that I've ever met that was even close to being like her.
Did she find the salmon in the jacket?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
That was actually pretty good. All right, one more question.
We might have to get a real comedian up here.
All right, we got our last question. What's your name, sir?
Ryan.
All right, we're in the center at the back here, by the way, guys. Ryan, what's your question?
Mr. Henry, I was wondering, over the course of your whole storied career, who was your favorite opponent that you ever worked with your whole career?
There's actually three. I can't really put one guy in there. Randy Orton, you know, Randy brought the best out of me. He was, give it up for the Viper. Randy is not only one of the most physically talented guys, but he's a great psychologist and knows where stuff fits. It just fits. And, you know, I would say to Rock as a competitor, but it wasn't even the matches that we had. It was the fact that he was a student of the game. He was third generation, and he just taught me stuff. Shut the fuck up. You see how I got the... Damn. So
y'all are going to keep trying, huh?
So he taught me a lot about the business and etiquette and what it takes to be a wrestler and to be ready for what's coming, because he saw that I was going to have a certain level of success. But he was like, look, when that success comes, this is how you handle it. And he was that with everybody. And the Undertaker. The Undertaker was... And everybody was different. That's why I was saying, like, everything is different. The Undertaker is like a mentor for everybody that's ever laced up boots or went to the ring barefoot or whatever. Like, he's the catalyst when it comes to projecting and making the crowd look at you and believe you and want to believe you. If you can't do it with him, you can't work with him. And it was the biggest honor to be able to for them to come to me and say, hey, the Taker wants to work with you. And you like go, wow, man, it's crazy. So I respect
him. By the way, what is Undertaker's name in your phone?
Dead.
No, I don't believe this.
Just Dead is the best thing I've ever heard of. Shoemaker, you have a question for...
I have one. I've had a couple of, you know, privilege experiences having the job that I have or whatever. I've gotten the privilege of having barbecue with Mark before. I've had the privilege of having tacos with Mark before. The last time I talked, a while ago, I talked to Braun Strowman and asked him what his Chipotle order was, and it sort of blew up the internet for a day. So my question for you, Mark, as one of the real foodies in the wrestling world, is what is the most impressive eating you've ever seen happen backstage? Like, who is the most impressive eater of all the guys backstage or gals?
Oh, man. I watch Yokozuna eat 20 pieces of KFC one time. And all the size that went with it. And I was hungry as hell because I thought he ordered a 20-piece.
Greg, I thought Greg, are you dying inside? Is this the greatest experience you've ever heard of?
I thought I was...
Yokozuna at KFC, it gets no better. Was Bret Hart there?
Bret Hart paid for the chicken.
If Bret Hart was at KFC...
Bret bought the chicken.
I was hoping I was going to get some. I mean, it's like 20-piece. I'm like, shit, I ain't ordering that. And he, you know, he got back and he was like, you ain't going to order nothing? Guess not.
What was by the way, I don't know a lot of stories about him. What was Yoko like?
Yoko was one of the toughest guys that we ever. He was the same as Mean. He was the same as Taker. He was the same as Shamrock or any of the guys that I looked at as being like real tough guys. And had a lot of respect from the boys. He didn't even have to raise his hand. It was like, Yoko would be like I told him to shut the hell up. I actually said shut the
fuck up. Yeah, let's be honest, you said
shut
the fuck
up. But Yoko would be like. And people start.
Just cleaning for no reason.
Like cleaning shit. He had a real, real lot of. He had a strong look and a lot of respect, you know, came with it.
Hey guys, can you do me a favor and make some noise for the Hall of Famer, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry?
Yeah. Look, before I leave, I don't know if y'all saw this film, the Andre story, but this dude right here got a lot of respect for me for how he called my idol.
Wow, this is a moment. This is a happening. This is a happening. Wow. Well, what do you do from there?
Well, Paul Heyman.
Anyone else you want to have threaten you tonight?
Paul Heyman left that Studio 54 question from that fine listener unanswered. What the guy was asking was, did he smash?
I have good news, Brian. I don't think there's anyone else in the back. So you should be safe from here on out. And by the way, guys, why do you randomly yell out things at Mark Henry when he's talking?
Because somebody wants to get their ass whipped.
His song is literally talking about you. Somebody. I'm not going to be that person, ever. Hey, guys, thank you for coming out and doing this and hanging out tonight. I really appreciate that. Does anybody have any like burning questions you have to ask before we put a bow on this? Yes, miss. Yeah, sure. Here, will you pass her a microphone there, Shoemaker?
I'm really happy Paul isn't here to yell at me.
Yes. By the way, I'm sorry. That's very intimidating. I would have been standing up and sitting down the entire time. For the record, Paul comes up to me backstage and will just tell me something about me looks like 5 minutes before I'm going to go on air. I'll be like, Vince hates that. He hates it. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I put my hand down after that. So my biggest match for Sunday is The Miz and Daniel Bryan. I think that will be the best match. Thank you. And I loved SmackDown, the like setup for it. How much of that do you think is real life heat, or how much of that is all kind of made up for it?
I think honestly we'll never know, just because they're both such pros. But I will say this, I mean, they took the story back 8 years on SmackDown, and it really does start when Daniel Bryan first shows up on NXT. And the moment he shows up, he's in on The Miz. Like, he's better than him in the ring. I've been around the world. I'm a real wrestler. I don't know who this guy is. I can't believe they think that there's anything that I can learn from him. He's been doing that since day one. So when somebody comes at you and your craft the whole time, it festers. And so, like I said, we'll never know how much of it is real heat, but it's a great story.
I think what's really one thing those two guys really have in common is that there's no like second gear for them, right? It's all like just pedaled like to the floor, and it doesn't always show, right? I mean, The Miz seems a little bit like a caricature, like that's sort of his gimmick, you know, a little bit, and Daniel Bryan's sort of low key in some of the stuff that he does, but. You know, we talked about this back in the Cheap Heat days, that like Daniel Bryan was Vince's favorite wrestler for a while. You know, like Vince, like when he would see him cut promos, he was like, he just does it. He just goes all in. And that's what, when I rewatched all of that old footage, and that's what you really see. You see like Daniel Bryan, this guy who like, who knew if he was going to really get a shot? He just got in the ring and he was just like, the Miz, like, I don't care at all. Yeah. And it was real, and it's just like, it was just, he's so plugged in. And the Miz is the same way. When the Miz was on Talking Smack, like, yeah, that was real. That was kind of real. And part of what makes the Miz so great is that, like, there's this, like, anxiety built into him that he's, that he can't not say the thing that needs to be said.
Can I just reveal a little?
Okay, well, we're a little worried about what that means.
Very little.
Show us your chest tattoo, man.
Just the tip. I was backstage the day of that Talking Smack in Uncasville, Connecticut, randomly enough.
Okay.
I ran into The Miz about an hour before, and this is a not a work. It's a shoot, brother. And I said, Miz, you're doing fantastic. I love you, brother. You're doing great. And he went on this rant, looking down on the ground. He was like, man, I'm doing great, but I can't get a push. I mean, I'm the Intercontinental Champion. I'm not even on the show tonight. I can't get a push. And he cut this real-life promo. And I'm like, man, this guy's really pissed. I can't wait to go back and text all my Mark friends. This is going to be fantastic. And then I left early. And then he delivered that thing. So it came from a real place inside of him. And it was perfect, and it got the show canceled, and it was the best thing ever.
I spoke to The Miz earlier today, too, because I did a thing with him in Champ Sports.
If you guys didn't know, Greg's out here just hosting events at Foot Locker. You know what I'm saying?
Champ Sports.
Same company, bro.
Champ Sports.
It's all family.
Champ Sports.
Okay, got it. But
no, they paid me to say Champ Sports.
They did? They did.
Yeah.
He was at Champs.
Yeah.
Sports.
Champ Sports. But, no, what you said about The Miz is true. Like, he's always on, and I think he earned a lot of my respect today because I didn't realize how smart he was about the business and how seriously he took himself and, like, the business and just cutting promos. He talked about cutting promos in the shower, on anything, just, like, always thinking, always working, always tweaking his character. And, like, he is The Miz. Like, when he's on, he thinks about it from the perspective of who he is. Like, he cheats, he says, because he can't compete with these guys who are, like, better trained wrestlers or, like, better performers in the ring. And, like, his mind, we don't give him enough credit for how his mind works because he just doesn't seem to have the talent in the ring.
His, you know, one of the key parts of that Talking Smack promo was that he was there, like, he doesn't risk his body, but he's there every single night. You know, he doesn't do the same spots or whatever. And I think one of the great, like, you know, a lot of times we're looking forward to something and then we don't, as soon as a match is over, we stop celebrating a match, or as soon as a moment's over, we, like, look on to the next big thing. One thing that, like, gets really underplayed is that the entire WWE universe, if you want to say it, was convinced that Miz was taking like paternity leave after WrestleMania, and then I talked to one of the Miz's buddies, and he was like, he's not going anywhere. Like, but everybody was like, of course he's going to be gone for 3 months. That's what everybody would do, and every dirt sheet had that. Everybody was assuming that, and no, the Miz just has worked straight on through every single.
His brother's with him in New York right now.
It's. I just would like to say I haven't really talked to either of them about any of that. And a lot of people ask about that, and I would like to be the first person who says, I think it is an absolute amazing and classic work, 100% through and through at this point. I think there's nothing, at this point, I think there's nothing but respect between those two guys. I just can't, if you're Daniel Bryan, in what world could you not have respect for a guy who's been able to be on top as long as The Miz has at WWE? That particular workload, and you guys know I'm always apt to, like, randomly just take digs at the indies just because their fans seem to hate me. The workload of popping up on shows a couple times a month, you can do really well and you can be really entertaining and you can make a great living. In some ways, you could argue, Cody Rhodes would tell you a better living and live a better lifestyle. That's a reasonable point to make. But if the WWE is your goal and you are going to live that life every day, I don't know how you could do it much better than The Miz has done it over the last decade.
I want to give him one compliment. Before 2016, we were like, The Miz is for a reality star turned wrestler, man, he's pretty damn good. Now we're finally going, no, he's the modern-day Nick Bockwinkel. He's an all-timer. He's a Hall of Famer. He's an absolute legend, and he doesn't get enough credit for making that transition.
No, I think you're absolutely right. When it's all said and done, the idea that The Miz isn't going to be in the Hall of Fame is absurd. He absolutely will be. And frankly, I think we toss around, like, that he's not good in the ring a little bit. bit too often. I think The Miz is totally fine. Right. He's not Kenny Omega. He's good. He's
just
solid.
Something that stuck from his early days, honestly. Like,
yeah, the early days he had two things he does. Now he has like eight. That's all you need.
All wrestling fans in their head have two categories: the guys who can work and the guys who can't. He's the Kenny Omega of the guys who can't work. Like, that's really the honest thing.
This is why I miss him. By the way, can you stand up, speaking of Daniel Bryan, and show everyone your shirt? This is phenomenal. Turn around and show this.
When can we start selling that?
All right. Any more absolute pressing questions? Yes, just be very loud because we don't have a lot of time. We got to wrap this. Oh, my man right in the middle right here.
Black Power Rankings. That guy great.
Yes. Well, I don't want to get my ass whipped, so I'm just going to say Mark Henry as the one and all be all Black Power Rankings tonight. Mark Henry.
And I don't want to say anything else about it. No details at all. But can you answer the question that I asked you at the end of Cheap Heat with just either one or two words?
I don't remember the question. What was it? Hogan or?
Why do they know the podcast better than you, man? I know you don't keep stats for wrestling, but at least stats for our show, for God's sake.
No stat, Greg.
No. Hogan or Omarosa dangling off a roof?
Yep.
They both got to go. I'm going to step on her foot with one foot, step on his hand with the other, do the little mash, and then let him go.
My urethra is going to pop. I got to go.
I know. Hey, guys, on a sincere note, I know there are a million events this weekend, and I know a lot of you may be going to many of them. God bless you. But the fact that you spent money and took time to come hang out with us after all these years means a lot. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you so much. Shout out to Kyrie on the sound, the entire building, Zach Linder, Goldstein, the Dipperstein, Hip Hop Mike, Top Shelf Premium. Thank you guys very much. If you're VIP, we're going to hang out and meet everyone up here. And tomorrow, if you want to buy vintage tees, we'll be at Blind Barber at noon tomorrow or sometime after. Shout out to Yep, I Like Wrestling in the building, by the way. Sonny Sofrito.